Welcome to Limited Lexicon, the podcast where we play through text-based adventure games. I'm your host, KJ, and with me is...
Brian.
Tom.
John.
I'll be playing the part of the computer by reading the text generated by the game, and my co-host will feed me commands as we try to get through today's adventure. Today, we'll be continuing The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, created by Douglas Adams and Steve Merzetsky. Don't panic.
Destroy Procer.
Trying to break Mr. Procer has no desirable effect.
Move Procer.
You can't move Mr. Procer.
Open Procer.
You're clearly insane.
Plug Procer.
What do you want to plug Procer in?
Procer in bulldozer. I don't know. Does anyone else have any ideas?
You can't seem to plug Mr. Procer into the bulldozer.
Does anyone else have any ideas?
Get up.
Okay.
Wake up. Get up. Wake up.
The bulldozer driver gives you a quick chew of his gum and slams the clutch. The bulldozer piles into the side of your home, and you're hit by a brick on the head. You have died. Front porch. This is an enclosed front porch of your home. Your garden lies to the south, and you can re-enter the home to the north. On the doormat is a pile of junk.
Can we go south?
Did
we take the mail? Oh, we didn't take the mail. Oh, we gather up the pile of mail. We just didn't read the letter.
You gather up the pile of mail. Front of house, you can enter your home to the north. A path leads around it to the northeast and southwest. And a country lane is visible to the south. All that lies between you and your home and the huge yellow bulldozer bearing down on it is a few yards of mud. Mr. Prosser from the local council is standing on the other side of the bulldozer. He seems to be wearing a digital watch. He looks startled to see you emerge and yells at you to get out of the way. The bulldozer rumbles slowly towards your home.
Lie in front of bulldozer.
You lie down in the path of the advancing bulldozer. Prosser yells at you to, for Christ's sake, move!
For Christ's sake, move!
For Christ's sake, yeah, crikey.
Did you put your name...
For Christ's sake,
did you put your
move.
Name in the goblet of fire?
Is that from the movies, John?
Yeah. Dumbledore quietly asks, did you put your name in the goblet of fire?
For Christ's sake, Harry.
This is just a bunch of British references. That's going to be the entire season.
Oh, man.
Yeah. What's your ex?
A brave Zen-like effort. It fails. The bulldozer thunders towards you. The ground is shaking beneath you as you lie in the mud.
Let's keep relaxing. Let's get into a nice relaxing point.
A brave Zen-like effort. It fails. The noise of the giant bulldozer is now so violently loud that you can't even hear Prosser yelling to warn you that you will be killed if you do not get the hell out of the way. You just see him gesticulating wildly.
Let's relax, guys. Yeah.
Relax.
A brave Zen-like effort. It fails. With a terrible grinding of the gears, the bulldozer comes to an abrupt halt just in front of you. It shakes, shudders, and emits noxious substances all over your rose bed. Prosser is incoherent with rage. Moments later, your friend Ford Prefect arrives. He hardly seems to notice your predicament, but keeps glancing nervously at the sky. He says, "Hello, Arthur." Takes a towel from his battered leather satchel and offers it to you.
Show for the mail?
What do you want to show Ford mail to?
Okay, thanks. I think it thinks the guy...
Maybe the letter.
Yeah, show Ford the letter.
You can't see that here.
Can we read mail?
Can you read mail?
There are many pieces of mail. Most are from the computer company called Infocom, which wants you to buy their games. Hidden underneath is an official letter from the local council dated some 2 years ago and inexplicitly not delivered till now, explaining that a demolition order has been served on your home. The date of demolition is today's date. Ford glances uncomfortably at the skies. He offers you the towel again.
Give Ford letter.
What do you want to give Ford letter to?
This game is so terse. Okay, can we say, Ford, we can't leave?
I don't know the word we. Let me try it in quotes. You should use quotes with this verb. Ford seems oblivious to your trouble. So you ask, Ford, what about my home? He looks startled, then guilty. He starts to say something and stops. He starts to say something else and stops. Suddenly, he seems to see the bulldozer for the first time, stops starting to say things, and starts. He seems to come to a momentous decision, says he has something of earth-shattering importance to tell you, and stresses the importance of a quick drink at the Horse and Groom. Pointing towards Prosser, you explain, but that man wants to knock my house down. Ford goes off for a quiet word with Prosser. From where you're lying, you cannot hear what's happening. Although they seem deeply engrossed in conversation. I don't know the word we.
This is such a terse game. It just kind of solved itself. I don't even know what to say. Can we relax?
A brave zen-like effort. It fails.
Can you ask Ford what's going on?
What do you want to ask Ford about?
At what are you saying to Purser or the house, one or the other? Ask Ford Purser.
A long silence tells you that Ford Prefect isn't interested in talking about Ford Prefect.
Oh my god, this game is something.
Ford and Prosser stop talking and approach you. Ford says that Prosser has agreed to lie down in your place so that the two of you can go off to the pub. Reluctantly, Prosser steps forward and lies down in front of the bulldozer. You stand up.
There is no verb in that sense.
Yeah, I think when it said, what do you want to ask Ford about? In The Hobbit, you had to retype the whole thing. But if I had just typed house, you see what I mean? I think it's ask Ford.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this is a wonky game.
Yep.
Oh. Do you want to follow Ford?
Follow Ford.
But Ford Prefect is right here.
Go to.
Ask Ford about pub.
A long silence tells you that Ford Prefect isn't interested in talking about the pub. Ford, urging you to follow, hurries towards the country lane.
Follow Ford.
In a state of anxiety and confusion, you follow Ford down the lane. Country lane. The road runs from your house to the north, towards the village pub, to the west. Ford Prefect is here. Come along, Arthur, says Ford impatiently, and enters the pub.
Enter pub.
The pub is pleasant and cheerful and full of pleasant and cheerful people who don't know they've got about 12 minutes to live and are therefore having a spot of lunch. Some music is playing on the old jukebox. The exit is east. Ford Prefect is here. There is a barman serving at the bar. Behind the bar is a shelf. It is full of the sort of items you find at shelves behind bars and pubs. Ford buys a lot of beer and offers half to you. Muscle relaxant, he says impenetrably.
Okay.
Drink beer?
It's very good beer, brewed by a small local company. You particularly like its flavor, which is why you woke up feeling so wretched this morning. You were at somebody's birthday party here in the pub last night. You begin to relax and enjoy yourself. So when Ford mentions that he's from a small planet in the vicinity of Beetlejuice.
I think it's Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
I thought it was
Beetlejuice because I think that's. You know,
I've heard it read out loud.
So when Ford mentions that he's from a small planet in the vicinity of Beetlejuice, not from Guilford, as he usually claims, you take it in your stride and say, oh yes, which part?
Drink beer?
It is really very pleasant stuff with a very good, dry, nutty flavor, some light froth on top, and a deep color. It is exactly room temperature. You reflect that the world cannot be all bad when there are such pleasures in it. Ford mentions that the world is going to end in about 12 minutes.
Ask about
end of world?
I don't know the word end.
Ask Ford. Towel?
A long silence tells you that Ford Prefect isn't interested in talking about the towel. Drink the beer, urges Ford. It will help cushion your system against the coming shock of a matter of transference beam.
I think maybe drink the beer.
yeah, just drink beer.
There is a distant crash, which Ford explains is nothing to worry about. Probably just your house being knocked down.
Drink beer.
I think we usually go back to the house.
No, I don't remember.
I guess we could drink the beer.
I don't think you go back to the house.
I think you do in the book.
Do you?
I think he goes back to the house and is
you
like,
see it knocked down?
Yeah. Go to house?
Country lane. You see the huge bulldozer heaving itself amongst a cloud of brick dust, which is all that remains of your home. As you start up the lane, a small dog runs up to you yapping. Ford hurries after you.
Hey, dog.
Nice try.
Damn it! This game sucks!
We don't have anything to give the dog.
Pet dog.
The dog tries to bite your hand. The dog carries on yapping for a moment and then gulps uncomfortably.
Can we go north to the house? Is that where it is?
You reach the site of what was your home. It is now a pile of rubble. Mr. Prosser looks sheepishly triumphant, a trick few people can do, as it requires a lot of technically complex deltoid muscle work. Front of house. Mr. Prosser, from the local council, is standing on the other side of the bulldozer. He seems to be wearing a digital watch. Ford hurries after you.
Shout at Prosser.
You begin to get a sore throat.
Punch Prosser, I don't know.
You muck up all his fancy facial work. This is the last moment of satisfaction you'll experience for some time. With a noise like a cross between Led Zeppelin's farewell concert and the eruption of Krakatoa, a huge fleet of Vulcan constructor ships flies overhead and announces that Earth will be demolished to make way for a new hyperspace bypass in 2 of your Earth minutes. In all the turmoil, you drop the thing that your aunt gave you, which you don't know what it is, and it rolls away. It is the least of your worries. Anyway, you've been trying to get rid of it for years.
Ask Ford about fleet? About ships?
A long silence tells you that Ford Prefect isn't interested in talking about the fleet of Vulcan constructor ships. The vast yellow ships thunder across the sky, spreading waves of terror and panic in their wake. The voice of the Vulcan captain slams across the country, insisting that the planning charts and demolition orders have been available at the local planning office in Alpha Centauri for 50 years, and it's too late to start making a fuss about it now. Throughout the noise, Ford is shouting at you. He removes a small black device from his satchel, but accidentally drops it at your feet.
Take device.
Take device?
Device taken. Fierce gales whip across the land, and thunder bangs continuously through the air in the wake of giant ships. Ford fights to reach you, but the wind is too fierce. Further announcements from the Vulcan captain make it clear that demolition will begin in just a few seconds. Through the blinding rain, you see lights flickering on the small device.
Approach Ford, I think, right? I don't know.
He's here.
Yay! All right, how do you guys want to
do? Look at flickering, look at examine device.
The electronic sub-etha signaling device is shaped like a small fist with an extended thumb. Various lights along its knuckles are currently blinking wildly, indicating a spaceship is in the vicinity. It has two small buttons, a red one labeled Call Engineer and a green one labeled Hitchhike. It bears a small label which reads, Another fine product of Sirius Cybernetics Corporation. Affixed to the thumb is a lifetime guarantee. The Earth is destroyed by a fleet of Vulcan construction ships. You have died.
Ugh. So I guess we have to inspect the thing faster to hit the hitchhike button.
But we just got it. We picked it up. Maybe we don't talk. Maybe we don't approach forward. We just press the fucking button. That's the freaking button.
Pub. The pub is pleasant and cheerful.
Drink beer. This game is something.
It's very good beer. You begin to relax and enjoy yourself, so when Ford mentioned that he's from a small planet in the vicinity of Betelgeuse, not from Guildford, as he usually claims, you take it in stride and say, oh yes, which part?
Drink beer.
Ford mentions the world is going to end in about 12 minutes.
Should we just try drinking beer? I don't know.
And we have to go back to the house.
There's a distant crash, which Ford explains is nothing to worry about, probably just your house being knocked down.
I kind of want to try drinking beer too at the same time, I don't know.
You can hear a muffled voice in your home being demolished, and the taste of beer sours in your mouth. You get drunk and have a terrific time for 12 minutes. Are the life and soul of the pub. Tell some really great stories. Make everyone laugh a lot. And they all clap you on the back and tell you what a great chap you are. And then the Earth gets unexpectedly demolished. You wake up with a hangover, which lasts for all eternity.
Okay, well now we know. Oh my god. I didn't think this game was this brutal.
Pub. The pub is pleasant and cheerful.
Drink beer. Drink beer.
Drink beer.
Drink.
You begin to relax and enjoy yourself.
Drink beer.
Ford mentions the world is going to end in about 12 minutes.
Drink beer.
Yep.
There is a distant crash, which Ford explains is nothing to worry about. Probably just your house being knocked down.
Go south.
Country lane. Ford hurries after you.
Go north.
Front of house. Mr. Prosser from the local council is standing on the other side of the bulldozer. He seems to be wearing a digital watch. Ford hurries after you.
I don't know, punch Prosser. Punch Prosser.
You muck up his fancy facial work.
How do we get to that part where
he drops the thing?
Can we just do stuff? Do we just
wait? Yeah, let's try waiting.
Time passes. With a noise like a cross between Led Zeppelin's farewell concert and the eruption of Krakatoa, a huge fleet of Vulcan constructor ships flies overhead and announces that the Earth will be demolished to make way for a new hyperspace bypass in 2 of your Earth minutes. In the turmoil, you drop the thing your aunt gave you, which you don't know what it is, and it rolls away. It's the least of your worries. Anyway, you've been trying to get rid of it for years.
Talk to Ford?
Ford Prefect looks at you expectantly, as if you seemed about to talk.
Ask who are the Vulcan?
A long silence tells you that Ford Prefect isn't interested in talking about the fleet of Vulcan constructor ships.
Oh, here we go.
The vast yellow ships thunder across the sky, spreading waves of terror and panic in their wake. The voice of the Vaughan captain slams across the country, insisting that the planning charts and demolition orders have been available at the local planning office in Alpha Centauri for 50 years, and it's too late to start making a fuss about it now. Throughout the noise, Ford is shouting at you. He removes a small black device from his satchel, but accidentally drops it at your feet.
Take device.
Device taken. Fierce gales whip across the land, and thunder bangs continuously through the air in the wake of the giant ships. Ford fights to reach you, but the wind is too fierce. Further announcements from the Vaughan captain make it clear that the demolition will begin in just a few seconds. Through the blinding rain, you see flickering lights on the small device.
Did we look at device?
The electric sub-ETHA signaling device is shaped like a small fist with an extended thumb. Various lights along its knuckles are currently blinking wildly, indicating a spaceship in the vicinity. It has two small buttons, a red one labeled Call Engineer, and a green one labeled Hitchhike. It bears a small label which reads, Another fine product of Sirius Cybernetics Corporation. Affixed to the thumb is a lifetime guarantee.
Do we press? Push. Yeah.
Green button?
Lights swirl sickeningly around your head. The ground arches away beneath your feet. And every atom of your being is scrambled, an experience you're probably going to have to get used to. You are in dark.
Eric, I think we got picked up.
Yeah, you yell. Can you speak?
You yell as loudly as you can, but no sound emerges.
Can we wake?
You can hear nothing, smell nothing, taste nothing, see nothing, feel nothing, and you're not even certain who you are.
Light.
What do you want to light?
Yes.
There's nothing you can taste, nothing you can see, nothing you can hear, nothing you can feel, nothing you can smell. You do not even know who you are.
Starting to get a little Dr. Seuss there.
Okay, what do we have?
Yeah, what's our inventory?
You can hear nothing, smell nothing, taste nothing, see nothing, feel nothing. And you're not even certain who you are.
Oh, so we don't have access to our inventory. So how do we remember? Brian was the most recent reader of the book. How do we, what happens?
Doesn't Ford wake him up, or does he stumble around? I'm trying to think. They eventually, well, they're on the ship. They got picked up by the Drogon ship, right?
Yes. Can you say Ford's name?
You can't see Ford here.
I'm just going to say keep shouting.
You yell as loudly as you can, but no sound emerges.
He wasn't wearing a digital watch. It was the guy on the ground, right? It was like getting a pushed digital watch, but that would maybe no light there.
You know, for a game that's supposed to be like famous, this is pretty limiting.
How do we start moving around?
I feel like he can talk.
You can't hear anything, see anything, feel anything, or taste anything. You do not even know where you are, or who you are, or how you got here.
Can we just exit?
You can't hear anything, see anything, feel anything, or taste anything. And you do not even know where you are, or who you are, or how you got there.
Okay.
And I'll give you guys a clue. Something has changed in the text.
There is. Okay. You do not even know who you are, or who you are. You not know where you are, who you are, or how you got there. Oh, is there a what?
Say it's nothing. Is nothing is there? Who's nothing?
Right? No, we have a because there's one where we say there's nothing can taste, nothing you can see, nothing can hear, nothing can feel, nothing can smell. You don't even know who you are. And then there's another one that says how you got there. No. Can we keep walking?
Well, you know who you are now.
No, you don't. We don't know where you are or who you are, or how you.
But
got
we
there.
Used to not know who we are.
But no, we aren't even certain who you are.
But look at the next text at the bottom, right? It doesn't say you don't even know where you are. Oh, it does say who you are. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The change is who you are, how you got there. Can we spit?
Oh, I do not know the word spit.
Sit.
What do you want to sit on?
Darkness.
There is nothing you can taste, nothing you can see, nothing you can hear, nothing you can feel. You do not even know who you are.
Touch.
Darkness. You can't hear anything, see anything, feel anything, or taste anything, and do not know where you are, or who you are, or how you got there.
Haste.
Haste?
darkness. You can see nothing, feel nothing, hear nothing, taste nothing, and you are not entirely certain who you are.
Ask who I am.
Here?
You can hear nothing, taste nothing, see nothing, feel nothing, and are not even certain who you are.
Know who you are?
No? Is it no?
I do not know the word no.
That's not the word no.
Find, God. Yeah, we've done everything except for the even who you are part. Connect to self? Wake? Oh, no. No, that's not it.
You're awake.
Be certain?
I don't know the word be.
Certain?
I don't know the word certain.
It doesn't know the word no.
Consult?
What do you want to consult?
Me?
What do you want to consult yourself about?
Who I am?
You can't hear anything, see anything, feel anything, or taste
anything. Oh, my God.
So taste, you can see nothing. What does he say with taste?
Feel me. Oh, feel me. See me.
I was going to say, this is an ode to Tommy, is what this is.
Touch
who got
me.
A piece of this?
This is so old. God, dude. Is that a reference?
Doesn't even know.
It's got to be a reference. It's British.
You can hear nothing, smell nothing, taste nothing, see nothing, feel nothing. You can't hear anything, see anything, feel anything. Oh, can we?
Oh, certain. It's certain, right? No, I said
Wait. No, I think it's taste nothing.
I thought we did that already.
No, we didn't say nothing.
You can't hear anything, see anything, feel anything, or taste anything.
No,
you taste anything.
No, it's just do taste. Just do taste.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
You can't hear anything, see anything, feel anything, or taste anything, and do not even know where you are, who you are, or how you got there. It is, of course, well known that careless talk costs lives, but the full scale of the problem is not always appreciated. For instance, at the exact moment you said, know who you are, a freak wormhole opened in the fabric of space-time continuum and carried your words far, far back in time across almost infinite reaches of space to a distant galaxy, where strange and warlike beings were poised on the brink of a frightful interstellar battle. Two opposing leaders were meeting for the last time. A dreadful silence fell across the conference table as the commander of the Volhargs, resplendent in his black jeweled battle shorts, gazed levelly at the Gagulvan leader, squatting opposite him in the cloud of green, sweet-smelling steam. As a million sleek and horribly beweaponed star cruisers poised to unleash electric death at his single word of command, the Volhorg challenged his vile enemy to take back what it had said about his mother. The creature stirred in its sticky, broiling vapor, and at that very moment, the words, "Know who you are," drifted across the conference table. Unfortunately, in the Volhorg's tongue, this was the most dreadful insult imaginable, and there was nothing for it but to wage terrible war for centuries. Eventually, the error was detected, but over 250,000 worlds, their people, and cultures perished in the Holocaust. You have destroyed most of a small galaxy. Please pick your words with greater care.
That would have come up with any words that we use for commands, because that's from all the way at the end of this section or the first part.
What do we do?
I don't know
anything. Do not even know where you are or who you are or how you got there, and are not even certain who you are. So in one line, you know where we are. That's what I said before, was taste nothing.
You guys can figure this
or
out.
Or taste any
smell.
It does smell a bit. There's something pungent being waved under your nose. Your head begins to clear. You can make out a shadow moving in the dark.
That's so dumb. That's so dumb. I'm mad.
You can rate and review this show anywhere fine podcasts are available. For those viewing in YouTube land, if you haven't already, please like this video, subscribe to the Talking Studios channel for all our exciting content, and follow us on social media at Talking Studios. Check out other shows by Talking Studios, including Talking Pictures Trivia, where we explore movies through trivia, Keep Making Movies, where we explore micro-budget films, Get the Point, where we slowly reveal a movie poster and try to guess which movie poster it is, and Adapt It, where we explore adaptations in various forms. Got a question for us? Call the Talking Studios hotline at 201-467-8679 and leave a message. It may be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Limited Lexicon, wherever fine podcasts are found.
Wow, Talking Studios,